Welcome to Woman to Woman, a listener-supported program of Sharon Hart's ministry, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
The busyness that plagues our society is nothing new. We see stories like Mary and Martha and warnings of busyness in Psalms. While we are busy, we can miss God completely, as in the days of Noah. Jesus even gives parables about how busyness robs us of the goodness he offers. If you have had a lifestyle of busyness, be encouraged today, because you can be set free. So join in the conversation as we discover ways to find freedom from busyness. We've been discussing how busyness robs us of so many wonderful blessings that the Lord wants to give to us, Janie. And our relationship with Him is strained because of all the cares of our busyness.
Today, Sharon, let's just do a really quick recap in case people have not been tracking with us. This is part three on busyness, but for the flow of where we are, because we've kind of gone back and forth. Busyness is bad, but there is busyness that must be had. And, I just made a one-liner.
Yes, you did.
Okay, so we're moving right along. Our first week, we really jumped in and said that busyness is usually connected with our needing to have our own significance. And our human nature needs to be significant. And so we miss the boat because we are insecure in who we are in Christ, and we don't really know our identity in Christ. So we go looking for our significance in all the wrong places. And then the kind of stinger that we had that day is that basically busyness, apart from the ordaining of the Lord and the empowering of the Spirit, is really self. It's reliance on self.
We're plugging all of our power cords into ourself, into our own power strip.
I have a strong visual image after you gave that description.
Instead of using God as our power source.
Strip, yes, and all the fuzzy wires that are going in many different places, and we don't know where to untangle.
Unplug,
yes. And then the second week, we talked with a more sincere element on there are people who genuinely love the Lord, genuinely want to be in service, and may already be in a full-time ministry. And that's about
it. And a lot of careers. Women are in.
Yes.
They're busy working their careers. They have to have a job to help support.
They've got a 40-hour week before we start adding all these
other
things.
Exactly.
And so then in desperation, they say, we can't change what we're locked into. So is it hopeless? Are we a loser? Are we condemned or confined to this cycle? And we then, in the second week, pointed out, no, there is hope. Because even if you can't immediately change your circumstances, you can change your attitude by what the Scriptures have taught. And you will see that as the Lord looks upon your heart, which He already knows, that He can then redirect, eliminate, coordinate, consolidate all the things to bring us into where we are living under the order and the power of the Holy Spirit.
And you know, a lot of times God will work out those things, those little details, those little loose ends, if you will, of things that keep us frazzled.
Yes.
And I know He did that for me last week. Is, you know, you're just like, I can't make this work. And and God just fixes it. And boom, everything works.
Yes.
And puts everything in order. So.
And I don't know that that was the parting of the Red Sea, but Sharon, for us, it wasn't a far. It was pretty close. And we can praise His name for that. Well, talking about how He uses us in our frailties and our limitations, and you and I each knowing the strengths and weaknesses of our own character, we may sometimes wonder and think, Lord, why did you pick her?
Yeah.
Right? But then we look at Him and His sufficiency and say, oh, I know why He has picked those two.
Yeah.
All right. But I want to take that a step further today and show that God is such a respecter of person where the character and personalities are of the people that He chooses. I went back and did a little study on just some of the disciples. Now, none of them would have passed for a resume for a job. And most of them, you probably could have said, Lord, why? But just to show you how the power of God works by the Spirit, I want to give you a couple of character traits on just a couple of the of the disciples today and let you know what we started out with. And one of them is Peter.
Oh, Peter.
Peter.
I relate with Peter a lot.
I think we all do in one of his facets, okay?
Okay.
He was impulsive. Always wanting to do something great and grandiose that he hadn't thought through. He hadn't thought through the process. He hadn't thought through the conclusion. But man, it seemed like a good idea.
It was a great idea, and it just popped in my head.
That's right. And of course, he had the agenda in his mind that he wanted to do something for the Lord. It's not like he just wanted to make a name for himself. But if his ideas didn't work, what happened? Well, he kind of got discouraged and went back to fishing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and the Lord had to call him. But with the same token, with all of his impulsiveness, he was cowardly. He always said, I'm going to do this. But then he did that, the opposite of what he said. I'll die for you. And instead, he departed when things got tough. He was hot-tempered. And there's probably most of us today that have streaks of hot-temperedness, even if it's turned inward, which can really then be called depression.
Mm-hmm.
And if that hot-temperedness is turned outward, it's called anger. And yet, Peter was tender-hearted. He was even caring for his mother-in-law, which we know is a great virtue. He was insightful. When the Lord said, Peter, who do you say that I am? And he said, well, you're the Son of God. And the Lord said, well, man has not shown that to you, but my Father who's in heaven. That's in Matthew 16, 16. And by Matthew 16, 21, the Lord is saying, get behind me, Satan, because Peter had absolutely gone from being in the Spirit to being selfishly wanting to keep the Lord from going to the cross. And we and millions of others would not be sitting here with life and any hope if Peter had got his wish.
So he jumped from spirit to flesh in a matter of moments.
Five verses in a matter of moments. All right. In the same conversation, which should be a warning to us on how easy it is for our words to use the expression go south and go into plugging into that wrong port that you speak of. But after Pentecost, after the Spirit came upon Peter, he became the rock, courageous, and not selfish, and willing to die on a cross, but upside down, because he was not worthy to die in the same manner that his master had died.
But he still battled with some of the same things after the Holy Spirit, because we hear about Paul correcting him too at times.
Good point.
You know, if you're out there and you're listening and you're going, great, you know, I sound just like Peter before the Holy Spirit. Great. Do I have any hope?
Yes. I imagine that Paul, in dealing with Peter and other people dealing with Peter, may have gotten a few gray hairs or lost some hair, because he was probably a hard person to handle. But then the Lord picked out James, son of Zebedee, and John, and their strong character was they were vengeful and fiery. And the Lord says, hey, leave vengeance alone. I will take care of it. But no, they sought vengeance on their own, and they had a very fiery temperament, and selfish and conceited. Now, we have the whole New Testament telling us what happens when we want to put self first and be conceited. And yet that's who the Lord chose. I keep wanting to go back to that. That was the ones that he picked. He didn't pick the scribes. He didn't pick the Pharisees. He didn't pick the good judges. He didn't pick the men that sat at the gates that had good judgment in making decisions. He did the vengeful and the conceited. And yet, in the end, after Pentecost, James and John were both committed. And the thing I want to add about John, he became the disciple that Jesus loved. He became the disciple that laid against his breast at the Last Supper, and he had a special intimacy with the Lord Jesus Christ, the judgmental disciple. Isn't it neat to see when we talk about transformation and what Jesus Christ through his Spirit can do? Then there was Thomas, and Thomas always doubted. If I can't see your hands, if I can't see the scars, I can't believe. And how many of us are saying today, I can't see you answering prayers. I can't see you working. It seems like you've gone to another universe and forgotten. And yet that's the disciple that the Lord chose. And as he's chosen you with your doubts, he has the sufficiency to overcome. And Sharon, all of them had strong traits of the flesh, the natural man.
Right.
And they were having to learn the difference between a natural man and a spiritual man. And they really didn't get a handle on it until after the resurrection. And so for our listeners today, I'd like to give a little booklet, and it's called 31 Kings, your own individual selfly trait for every day of the month. Subtitled The Victory Over Self by A.B. Simpson.
Okay.
And it just goes into self-will, self-indulgence, seeking, complacency, glorying, confidence, wherever you can put the word self before. And it just directly shows you how subtle it is to walk in the ways of self, to plug your whole life into the wrong system. And then you're so controlled by it, you don't know what to begin to unplug to correct. So,
and probably what we need to unplug is the power source and, and plug in a whole different, you know, power strip.
There you go. But this is just something, if somebody is feeling like a loser, that there's no hope, that their lifestyle is, this is just who I am. I can't change. Let me tell you, the Lord Jesus Christ said, not only will I tell you you can change, I'm going to show you what to change.
And how.
And how. And this little booklet is a very neat, practical application that we just want to make available to our listeners today. So we really want to talk to people who have particular issues to where they just don't know where to go.
Well, you know, Janie, I think what happens to us many times is that we don't know how to say no. You know, we want to help people. We really have a good heart, and we want to help, and we want to do, and we want to serve. We just don't know how to say no and when to say no. And, you know, when do I say no and when do I say yes? And so knowing our boundaries and our capacity for fulfilling what we say yes to, I think is really a struggle for many of us.
It is, you know, we did touch on at least a beginning process of when something happens, stop and contemplate, is this from the Lord? Mm-hmm. And he will give you settledness as you wait on him. Remember, we talked last week about not being in the earthquake or being in the fire, but in that still small voice.
Right.
But I do want to show you how the Lord, though, positively being weary and having already given and given and given, still gave some more. So there are some times that the busyness will continue, but if it's done in the energy of the living triune God, empowered by the Spirit, then we are energized much better than the bunny.
And still can be at rest.
And still be at rest. And there's a passage in Mark 6. They had really been busy. And the Lord says, come aside. By the way, this is also prefaced by the fact that they had just had somebody die and be put in the tomb. So this is a stressful time. This is a wearisome time. This is an emotional, overwhelmed time. And the Lord says to his disciples, come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest for a while. For there are many coming and going, and they didn't even have time to eat. So they departed to a place in a boat by themselves. And then here's that word, Sharon. But the multitude saw them departing and many knew him and ran there on foot from all the cities. They arrived before them and came together to him. And Jesus saw the great multitude and was moved with compassion for them, because they were like a sheep not having a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. And then you think, okay, so he taught them for a little while and then let's break up the crowd. No, it got very late and they needed to eat. So the Lord then said, okay, we're going to provide the physical bread. We have provided the living bread. Now you talk about a going on, going on, going on situation. So the Lord met that crisis. The Lord met that extreme need. But he did not meet that on a 7-day, 24-hour basis, because we also know in the scriptures where he says that he departed to be alone with his Lord.
Yes.
And so we need to say, if we have to have a crisis, as you said, when something comes up and we wait on the Lord in the right spirit, he does give us himself to meet it. But if that becomes a lifestyle and a way of life with no time and balance with him, then we are going to find that we have tremendous problems.
Well, Proverbs 16:3 says, commit your works to the Lord and your thoughts shall be established. And I think that's a pretty profound scripture, that when we find ourselves in those situations where we just don't know, should I say yes or should I say no? That's when prayer comes in and is a very important aspect of making that decision.
And the longer we pray, the less the enemy will be able to influence. We will have the questions kind of erased, because the Lord will speak to us in that small spirit. And we'll be able to say, yeah, no, that isn't wise to do that. It may be that the thought and the intent is right, but the timing is wrong. And so we need to wait. The Lord also, the disciples, the Lord was adjustable to his disciples, and he is to us. And I just need to praise him for his adaptability and faithfulness, even when we're not. But it always struck me funny. Well, funny is not the right word, that the disciples didn't ask the Lord, Lord, teach us how to preach and teach so that we can go out and bear witness of who you are and what do we say and what do
Give us the outline.
Give us the outline. There you go. We need the three-part sermon now. But they said in Luke 11:1-13, this is a passage you need to go read. It is the Lord's Prayer. Teach us how to pray. Teach us how to commune with you. And I want to introduce two new words that a lot of our resources use, and that's the words union and communion. And those words you had better know if you're going to have a lifestyle of prayer. Because union is being one in Christ. And if you're going to have a prayer life that effectually communicates, you must know your union, your position in Christ. And then standing on that, then you have the fellowshipping with him. You have the communion. You have the sweetness. You know, when we talk back and forth, Sharon, we don't lecture one another. I don't think we preach at one another.
No.
You may strain once in a while to say, I need a word, Janie. All right. But we are communicating.
Yes.
We are enjoying what we're discussing. And that's what communion needs to be when we fellowship with the Lord.
I think it's a lot like, you know, we talk about the bridegroom and the bride. And it's very much the same way with our communication. We don't commune with people we don't know. So if we're not united to them, if we're not connected with them in a union of some sort of relationship, there's really not the intimacy of a communing with them, a communication where you're sharing with each other.
There's just no depth.
Right.
It's, hi, how are you?
Hi,
I'm fine.
You? I'm...
And I look in their eyes and think, you just told me a lie, but I don't guess
and,
you want.
And, you know, I hear people say that they talk to the Lord like that, you know. Hey, Lord, it's me, Sharon, you know, like he doesn't know you. Okay, well, you know, we shouldn't be praying like that. If we are, then there's no real union there of a commitment, of a relationship, a uniting together in that relationship with the Lord. through Jesus Christ.
Well, and we know him for one point. He can get us out of hell and into heaven, and he died for our sins. And all of that is true. But how would you like to have a marriage based on the fact, my name is Sharon Hoskins, and I am married to you, and we've been married for umpteen number years, and I cook and clean, and what would you like to eat tonight?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, you, that would not be the way you would want to live.
No.
In a relationship. D.L. Moody, which most people know his name, made a statement. He said, waiting and weeping will make us become less wanting. And when D.L. Moody was going through a real valley, he wasn't getting any results with his praying. And someone just said, have you tried tears? And he said, no, but I will. And when he started praying with weeping, which was not a
not
technical
fake
or just a function of putting mm-hmm. an onion up to your eyes so you're going to cry. No, it was a heart change. He started caring about those people to the point that it broke his heart. He wasn't just sending up edicts to the Lord. Mm-hmm. Joe Blow needs to be redeemed, Lord, or so-and-so needs this. And it's like he's given mm-hmm. instructions to the God of creation that knows before you ever speak. He actually had a broken heart. And the Lord said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I mm-hmm. wish I would have gathered you as a hen yeah. gathers her chicks, but
yeah.
you would not.
You would not.
Spurgeon, everybody knows Spurgeon, I think they do, mm-hmm. said, those who do not hope cannot wait. But if we hope for what we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. And I know we're coming down to the end of our show, but I want to give an illustration true about Spurgeon. He says, those who do not hope cannot wait. But do you know Spurgeon's life was plagued with anything from depression to manic depression his whole life? He had bouts of depression, and his biographers say he really never totally got over it completely. Now, he had some tough things that he had to go through, and as much as he is and was a man of God, that was a source of weakness for him his whole life. And the other thing I didn't know until this week is he had high anxiety over finances. He worried about money all the time.
Hmm.
Now, he wrote 200 books on how to trust the Lord. He wrote over 3,500 sermons, and I believe the Spirit gave him that. But I want our
like he was preaching to the choir, huh?
Yeah.
Like we all do.
Yeah, yes. Mm-hmm. But he was preaching from a point of frailty mm-hmm. and weakness. And the Lord says, in your weakness, then I can be strong. So we need to look at some of the greats and say, all right, we can function with these things. They may not all leave us immediately, but we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. So the devil did not take a tea party and leave today. The devil wants Christians to be getting instead of giving, organizing rather than agonizing. And that agonizing we've kind of touched upon, how you have a broken heart for somebody. He wants you playing instead of praying. He wants you selfish in the place of serving. He wants you worrying and certainly not worshiping. He wants you anxious rather than patient, loathing instead of loving, working preferably to weeping, and whizzing ahead sooner than waiting on God.
Well, that pretty sums up the busyness, doesn't
it? That's right. Beloved, don't be busy, but let's learn to wait in prayer and how to wait in practice.
Okay. Thank you, Janie.
All righty.
Well, that's all the time we have for today. This is Sharon Hoskins, along with Janie Ratzliff, saying goodbye until next time, and God bless.
Thank you for being part of the listener-supported broadcast of Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman. Join the conversation anytime and find Bible study resources at sharonhearts.org. That's Sharon, Sharin, hearts, HEARTS.org.